You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Well, good morning all. Happy Easter. It is so good to see you. My name is Josh. I'm part of the team here and I'm just thrilled that you are here. Today, we celebrate the most significant day in human history. We celebrate the day when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It is Resurrection Sunday. It is the day of new life. And what better way to celebrate and demonstrate the reality of the resurrection than by baptizing seven incredible people who have met and had their lives turned upside down by this man, Jesus. Now, in many ways, baptism is a stunning picture of what we celebrate at Easter. As people go under the water, it is a picture of death. They are saying goodbye to their old lives. They are being buried with Jesus. And as they come up out of the water, they are being raised to new life in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here." As John said earlier, today is a celebration. So we're going to hear some stories in a moment. And as we do, I want to encourage you, this is a party. Let's celebrate what God has done. So I'm going to be sharing a short message on Easter in just a few moments' time. But we thought, why don't we start with some stories of people who have met this risen Jesus. We'll have three testimonies now and four later. So the first three testimonies, let's give a huge Whole Vineyard welcome to Phil, Sarah, and Gerald. You guys, come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Keep cheering, keep cheering, keep cheering. Beautiful people, beautiful. Amazing. So let's hear. Phil, you're up first, mate. I'll hold your microphone, don't worry. Let's hear your story.
So I grew up as a Christian, and I know that God has always been with me. But as life went on, my faith fluctuated, and at times my relationship with Jesus became distant. And Christianity felt more like a label than living, transforming relationship that God had intended. As an entrepreneur, I became very self-reliant, believing I needed to have all the answers and be in control of every decision. That mindset shaped how I lived, but that could only take me so far. So in difficult moments, I find myself calling out to God again, and I realized something powerful. Even when I relied on my own strength and drifted away, God had never left me. Like the father in a parable of a prodigal son, he was always there, ready to receive me with mercy, grace, and love. In returning to him, I have encountered Jesus Christ in a deeper way, the risen Savior who lifts burdens, restores, and leads our life with purpose. I've come to understand that true peace comes from trusting him, surrendering to him, and walking in obedience. Now my greatest desire is to live as a disciple of Jesus, to honor him in my business, my relationships, and every area of my life. To glorify his name has become my purpose. Today, I publicly declare my commitment to Jesus Christ, my risen Savior, to do this on Easter Sunday in front of my family and church community. Is a great blessing.
Wow. Bless you.
Love you. Great job. I was told to not go left field off this script, but I woke up at 3:30 this morning and John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's what came to me this morning.
Wow. Beautiful. I'll let you off breaking the number one rule, Phil. Don't worry. No, you stay here. You can stay here. Yeah, see, that's not awesome. Let's give Phil another round of applause. Wow, so good. Now let's welcome Sarah. Come on up, Sarah. Okay, let's hear your story.
So Christianity is quite new to me. Although I wasn't raised in a religious household, I always sensed a spiritual presence around me. Over the years, that intuition became a natural pull towards faith. After visiting a friend's church and seeking guidance through prayer, I finally started to feel heard. 5 weeks ago, I began attending Whole Vineyard, and it truly feels like I found home. This community has led me to a place of sincere repentance and helped me fully accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Because of this, today I have chosen to be baptized.
Amazing. Wow. So good. And let's hear it for Gerald. Gerald, yeah, let's go. Brilliant.
I have always believed in a higher power. As a child, I occasionally went to church as part of Cubs and Scouts. However, I grew up in a family that were not Christian. Over the years, I tried many paths, including Hinduism, the Jehovah's Witness and Spiritism, but many questions that went unanswered. Whilst I have some spiritual experiences along the way, they left me feeling unsettled and searching for something deeper. A couple of years ago, I went through a particularly tough time. I felt lost, empty, that my life was meaningless. In March 2025, I first came to Hull Vineyard. From the moment I walked in, I felt welcomed and at home. Over the past year, I've sought to live my life like Christ, and I have experienced transformation. I no longer feel lost or empty, and I know that my life has purpose and direction. I have discovered that true abundance comes through walking with Christ, not in money and possessions, but in the richness of the Holy Spirit. My life is fuller and my heart is free. Today I want to publicly declare my commitment to Jesus Christ, the risen Saviour, who has changed my life and given me purpose and hope.
Wow. Brilliant. You guys can go. Let's hear it again for these guys. Well done. Wow. Wasn't that powerful? Wasn't that powerful? Thank you so, so much. Friends, the resurrection of Jesus changes everything, doesn't it? That's what we've just heard. 2,000 years ago, it changed everything, and it still changes everything today. Back when Jesus was crucified, there were about 120 followers left. Just a small group of scared, dejected, disillusioned disciples. But now, 2,000 years later, 2.3 billion people across this world claim to follow Jesus. That's one in every three people on the planet. So what happened? How do you go from 120 in a room to one in three on earth? And how is it that 2,000 years later, here we are in Hull, and we're hearing real stories of real people whose lives have been completely turned upside down by Jesus? How is that possible? Well, there's only one answer. It is the resurrection. Guys, the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Let's read what happened that day in Matthew chapter 28. It says this: after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." I want to give us three ways the resurrection changes everything for us today, guys. Number one, because of the resurrection, we are freed from fear. Did you notice how many times fear is mentioned in those verses? The guards faint with fear. The first thing the angels say to the women who arrive at the tomb is, "Do not be afraid." The women leave the tomb. They've heard this good news that Jesus is alive. They are full of fear, but also joy. Then they meet Jesus, and Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid." The truth is that right now in our world, fear is everywhere, isn't it? We're living, as one writer has said, in the age of anxiety. Every single one of us carries something in our hearts that troubles us, something that keeps us awake, something that weighs deeply upon us. Maybe it's the fear of failure. Maybe it's the fear of the future. Maybe it's the fear of not having enough. Maybe it's the fear of not being enough, or the fear of loss, or the fear of what's happening in the world, or something many of us may struggle with, the fear of death. Let me ask you today, what do you fear? What are you anxious about? What are you worried about? If you're here today, and if you're honest, fear rules in your heart rather than peace, you need to hear these words of Jesus saying, "Don't be afraid." Not because life is easy, not because we don't suffer, not because everything is going to be okay, but because Jesus is alive. Do you know the most common command in the Bible is do not be afraid? Do you know how many times it says it in the Bible? 365 times. It's every single day of the year. You can hear the risen Jesus say to you, do not be afraid. When you're anxious about your family, do not be afraid. When you're fearful about the future, do not be afraid. When you're worried and concerned about what people think about you, do not be afraid. When fear has trapped you in a place of insecurity or inactivity, do not be afraid. And here is why we don't need to be afraid. Because God is real. Jesus really died and Jesus really got up. The tomb is empty. Death is defeated. Your life is not in the hands of chance or chaos or coincidence. It is in the hands of the risen Christ. And so today on this Easter Sunday, whatever is making you shake, whatever is keeping you awake, whatever is stealing your peace, hear these words. Do not be afraid. Jesus has risen. The second way the resurrection has changed everything is that we are freed from sin. If fear is the great emotional problem that plagues mankind, sin is the great spiritual problem. It separates us from God. Verse 5 says this, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. 3 days earlier, Jesus was crucified. He was nailed to the cross in the most brutal public death execution imaginable. So why was Jesus crucified? Well, the Bible says Jesus was crucified for me and for you. The prophet Isaiah, writing 700 years before before Jesus, prophesies about him and his death on the cross. And this is what he writes. He writes this, he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. It's saying this, Jesus came to pay the price and to set us free from all the bad things we've done. All of our selfishness and greed, all of our pride and anger, all our fear and our shame, all the ways we've hurt others and hurt ourselves and hurt God. And the reality is we've all messed up. We've all fallen short of God's standard. The world is broken. Just look at the news. It's easy to see, isn't it, that the world is not as it should be. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I, our fridge stopped working. And it stopped working by, there was a mass of ice forming on the back of it. Anyone had that before? Yeah, it's a nightmare. And so I tried to do everything I can to fix the problem. I defrosted the fridge maybe 5 times, got all the ice off. It kept coming back in a thick layer of ice. I tried to fix the surround and all the bit. I looked at everything. I checked the seals. I removed the doors. And so I thought, I need to get the professionals in. I called a local company to my house, and they fix appliances. I got on the phone. I said, hey, I've got a fridge problem. Can you come and fix it? They said, yep, no problem. We'll sort it. This guy comes around. He looks for, I'm being serious, 2 minutes. And then he says to us, yep, it's broken. And I'm like, yeah, I know it's broken. That's why you're here. Can you fix it? And he said, no, sorry, there's nothing I can do. And he charged me 80 quid. Unbelievable, wasn't it? I was absolutely fuming. But here's the point. That is a picture of our world. Everyone in our world knows and can see that the world is broken, but no one knows how to fix it. Jesus came to fix that which was broken and to deal with the root of the problem, which is sin. You see, what many people don't realize is the stuff that we've done wrong, it actually has a consequence of disconnecting us from God. It works a little bit like an overdraft in a bank account. If you've got an overdraft and I've got an overdraft, you can't help me and I can't help you. The only one that can help us is someone in credit. Jesus came to clear your overdraft. On the cross, he exchanged his perfection for our imperfection, his righteousness for our sin, his glory for our shame, his beauty for our brokenness. And so let me ask you this question today. We've heard the stories and it's mine too. Do you need forgiveness? Do you need to get right with God? I remember when I became a Christian, I was 14 years old. I had a real sense of the mistakes that I made. I felt guilty about my sin. And I heard this good news that Jesus died to wipe the slate clean, to give me a fresh start. And he rose again, and so I could have him in my life now. And I remember praying a simple prayer that we'll pray later on. And I remember feeling a tangible weight of guilt lift. And I felt clean. I felt new. It was a fresh start. This is what Jesus has done for us. I heard the story of a very famous artist that went back to his hometown, and he grew up there, and he's walking around the streets, and as he stops in an antique shop, he just can't believe what he sees. He sees in the front window one of his masterpieces. He painted it years and years ago before he was famous. The frame was broken. It was scratched. It was dented. The painting was dirty, but it was his. Now, he couldn't just go into the antique shop and say, hey, that painting's mine, give it back. If he wanted the painting back, he had to buy it back before he could clean it and restore it and reframe it. Guys, on the cross, Jesus bought us back. He bought us back. He paid the price. So we're freed from fear. We're freed from sin. And finally, because of the resurrection, we are freed from death. You see, the resurrection shows us that death is not the end. Death is not final. In fact, death has been defeated. If fear is the emotional problem, sin is the spiritual problem, death is the final boss that faces all of us. And Jesus conquered death by rising from the grave. There was a young boy who wanted to find out who or what was the most powerful thing in the universe. And so he went to an iron rod, and he said to this iron rod, are you the most powerful? And the iron rod said, no, I'm not. If you put me on a fire, I will melt. Put me in the furnace, I'll melt. So the boy goes to the fire and says, fire, are you the most powerful? And fire says, no, I'm not the most powerful. If you throw water on me, I will go out. So the boy went to water and said, water, are you the most powerful? And water says, no, when the sun comes out, I just evaporate. So the boy went to the sun and said, sun, are you the most powerful? And sun said, no, when a cloud passes in front of me, I get blotted out. So the boy went to the cloud and says, cloud, are you the most powerful? And the cloud says, no, when the wind blows, I just blow away. So the boy went to wind and said, wind, are you the most powerful? And the wind says, no, I'm not. I can blow lots of things, but when I come to mountains, they are immovable. So the boy goes to the mountains and says, mountains, are you the most powerful? And the mountains say, no, when man comes with its hammers and machinery, I just crumble. So the boy goes to man and says, man, are you the most powerful? And man says, no, I'm not, because we all die. We all face death, and death comes for us all. And so the boy goes to death and says, death, are you the most powerful? And death says, well, I have taken kings and queens. I have taken the famous and the faithless. Every human being I have defeated, except one. There is one I could not defeat. His name is Jesus. And so the boy goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, are you the most powerful? And Jesus replies, I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the resurrection and the life. I am the one who defeated death. Church, you need to know there is one who defeated death. There is one who rose from the dead. There is one who can forgive sins and wipe the slate clean. There is one who stands at the door of your heart today and knocks. Because of Jesus, because of the resurrection, we can have real hope. Hope for our fears, hope for our failures, and hope for our future. Probably one of the most famous Bible verses in the Bible is John chapter 3, verse 16. And this is what it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loved the world. He didn't just love the world. He so loved the world that anyone and everyone, that's you today. If you feel like you're the furthest possible from God, God wouldn't love me. He doesn't know what I've done wrong. He does, and he still loves you, and he came for you. It's that anyone and everyone, anyone that believes in Jesus, that puts their trust in Jesus, can be saved and have eternal life. One day, Jesus will come back. Because he rose from the dead, we can be sure that there is life beyond this one, a life in perfect paradise with God, face to face. And he knows us, and he made us, and he loves us, and he saved us. And it actually won't just be us that rise from the dead with him. But the difference between Christianity and every other religion on earth is that Jesus says he will resurrect the world. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. It will be the way that things were always meant to be. We will be finally at home with God. No more tears, no more pain, no more death, no more suffering. And Jesus invites all of us to put our trust in him and receive that free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. This is what the resurrection did. And so after our time of baptisms, we're going to have a moment where I'll give every single person here an opportunity to respond to Jesus, to put our trust and faith in Jesus and pray a prayer of faith. And maybe it's the first time or the 100th time to receive the freedom that he offers us. But before we do that, why don't we hear some more stories about how Jesus has changed our lives? And so why don't we give a huge welcome to Matthew, Anastasia, Lisa, and Georgia. You guys, come on up. Come on up. Let's give Matthew's up first. Let's give Matthew a warm Holvinia welcome. All right, let's hear your story.
Before Jesus came into my life, it was full of darkness, sorrow, pain, and anguish. I was blind to the light in the world. I wanted to take my own life many times over the years. I thought I was alone, even with all the blessings I had in my life. 4 months ago, I heard my name called over and over again. All day and all night, I heard Matthew, Jeffrey, Tyndall, wake up, it's time. For 2 weeks, I heard that. I thought I was going mad, until one day, I woke up, and I had the image of our family church in my mind. I jumped straight up, got dressed and went to the church. I prayed to God for my family, friends, and for guidance. Since then, I have felt God's presence with me. I feel loved and cared for like never before. God has shown me the path I must walk, and I intend to do so. My life has changed since then, and I'm so grateful for it. God has many more changes for the good in store for me. I'm being baptized this Easter Sunday so that I may be reborn in Christ as God has told me to do so. I love God with all my heart, and I know each stepping stone he gives me is the path that I must walk. Jesus is the one and only truth in this life. I thank God for saving me and giving me purpose and peace. In God I trust always. Thank you, Lord.
Amazing. Wow. Just stand there. So good. Let's say hey to Anastasia and welcome her. You ready? Can you see? Can you see?
Hold on. Do you mind if I
Yeah, of course. Can I do it?
Yeah. Sorry. So I grew up in a Christian household, but my journey with God wasn't always easy. In high school, I struggled to make friends and found myself in the wrong crowd. I was hurt and exploited by people I thought I could trust. And the choices I made left me feeling ashamed, disgusted, and convinced that God could never love me again. I suffered with depression, suicidal thoughts, and poor self-image, and it felt like there was no way back. When I came to university, I saw the Christian Union stand, and after talking with some people who knew my nan, I felt a nudge to give this church a try. It was different from the churches I had been to before. Rather than feeling judged, I felt welcomed, like they truly wanted me to be part of a family. At first, I went with my flatmates, but soon I came on my own. Over the next few months, I found myself looking forward to church. The people here are so welcoming and friendly, and I've made real lasting friendships. More importantly, I felt God's presence. I cried in prayer and experienced a deep sense of peace, knowing he had never forgotten me. He was simply waiting for me to come home. Since then, I've returned to reading the Bible, talking with God daily, and walking in his spirit. I feel as if I've been truly born again. This baptism marks a new beginning for me, a public declaration that I am not defined by my past and a step into a life fully committed to following Jesus Christ. I'm excited for this new chapter of God, and I know that with him, anything is possible.
That's so good. Wow. Let's welcome Lisa now. That was so good.
I'm Lisa. I struggled for a long time with understanding religion or where I fit in. It was wasn't always clear to me, and I had doubts. But now, something has changed. I feel sure in my path, and my belief in Jesus is real. Since I've been praying and worshiping, I felt a common peace I didn't have before. Getting baptized feels like making it official. Like fully committing to this new chapter, following Jesus, and continue to grow in my faith.
Amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Where did you stand there? Very good. And let's welcome Georgia. Hello, Georgia. I'm going to read it, okay? So good. I'm going to read this one for Georgia. Before I met Jesus, my life was a constant battle. I was overwhelmed and stressed, carrying a lot emotionally and physically, trying to hold everything together on my own. I felt so lonely, lost, misunderstood, and exhausted. I was searching for something to give me peace and something to make sense of it all. I tried New Age teachings, but nothing helped. As a mum, I felt the pressure to stay strong, even when I was struggling. At times, I felt I failed as a mum, and that added to the horrible, deep sadness and pain deep inside of me. I felt broken and totally alone. When I met Jesus, I was in emotional pain and alone. I cried out, Jesus, if you're real, please help me. I just can't do this anymore. I have no one. After that, I felt calmer and I felt a shift inside me. It was like a weight started to lift. I prayed and went to sleep. I realized the next day I didn't have to keep fighting everything alone anymore. I began to feel peace. Since coming to Jesus, I've changed, not just for myself, but for my kids. I feel more patient, more present, more aware of the life I want to build for us. I now have faith guiding me instead of fear. I'm getting baptized today, not just for myself, but for my children and grandchildren and everyone in my life I care for. I want to build my life on faith, to be guided by God and become the person I'm meant to be. This is me choosing a new way forward with hope, purpose, and trust in God. Well done. Thank you so much. Let's say well done to Georgia. So good. Now we're going to move into the time of baptisms. Why don't we welcome the other three baptism candidates up onto the stage. Guys, come on up. Very, very good. Do you want to... Yes, come in here. Come in here so we can all see you. Okay, so before we baptize you guys, we're going to have you make public declarations of faith. And so we have three questions that we're going to ask you. If we could have those three questions on the screen, please. And hopefully you'll all respond in the affirmative. Are you ready? Okay. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ? And will you live within the community of the church and serve Jesus Christ in the world? Well done. Let's hear it for our baptism candidates. Okay. Right, it's time. The lid is coming off. Those doing the baptizing, John and Neelu, why don't you come in? Try not to turn the bubbles on. Okay, Phil, first up. Let's hear it for Phil, guys. Let's hear it for Phil. Come on in. And while the baptism candidates are in the water, John will ask them a final question.
I just want to say, I've known you for over 20 years, is that right, Phil?
Yeah, something like that.
This is a big moment, and really proud of you, bro. So proud of you, love you. God makes all things new. Thank you, man. His timing is always perfect. Thank you. And... your new chapter starts today, man.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you so
much. I love you.
Love you, man. Thank you.
Just shuffle forward, Phil.
Phil, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
We now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let's go wild. Amazing. Let's keep the cheers going. And let's welcome Sarah. Come on, Sarah. This is incredible. Let's hear it for Sarah as she gets in the pool, guys.
Sarah, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
We now baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amazing. Gerald, let's hear it for Gerald. T-shirts are cool as well, aren't they? Very good. Yeah.
Gerald, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
We now baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, Matthew. Matthew, you're up. I think we're doing a substitution. Let's hear it from Matthew. Very good.
Matthew, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
We now baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Incredible. Incredible. Let's keep cheering for Anastasia.
Anastasia, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
We now baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next up, Lisa. Well, well done. Lisa, so good. Come on in. And let's say hello to the kids on the balcony, the top shelf as well. Come to join us. Brilliant. Very good.
Lisa, do you confess Jesus Christ, your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
We now baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Wow, let's keep cheering, guys. Let's keep cheering. Amazing. Brilliant. Finally, Georgia. Let's cheer Georgia on. Isn't this incredible?
Georgia, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
We now baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Woo! Let's cheer for every single person and welcome them. Wow. Isn't that incredible? And here's the amazing thing. You've heard the stories about what Jesus has done for these guys. And when we tell stories, here is what we're saying. If God's done it for them, he can do it for you. If God has done it back then, he can do it again.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.